Good to have everyone back with us tonight. We're so glad that you're here. Hope you've had a good afternoon. And once again, are ready to study together from the Word of God. Those who are back with us, who have been traveling or out, we're glad that you're back and hope everything is well with you. The book of Romans is a marvelous book in the New Testament of God's Word. It's a book that in the minds of many is misunderstood. Many of its verses are mistaught and misapplied. And that misdirection and perversion of the Scriptures are the main reasons we see so many errors in the religious world today. But that's not the book of Romans' fault. It's those faults who are misinterpreting it. But the book of Romans itself is a marvelous book. It's one that requires much thought, but it's one from which we can gain great truths and great treasures in growing spiritually, as we discussed this morning. I was reading this week about what some have said about the book of Romans, just in general, and in the minds of some of the most respected scholars in the world, I found a number of quotes applied to the book of Romans that I thought were interesting. Someone, for example, referred to the book of Romans as the first great work of Christian theology. Somebody else called it the most profound book ever read. It's been called the cathedral of the Christian faith, the chief book of the New Testament. And one other even said that the book of Romans opened all the treasures of the rest of the Scriptures. And if you read through the book of Romans, and especially if you take time to study it in depth, you know that each of these statements to some degree is right. The book of Romans is an outstanding book to trigger thought within the mind of every child of God. But if you were to sum up the purpose of the book of Romans or the theme of the book of Romans into one statement, it might be this: that the book of Romans addresses this question: how can man benefit from the righteousness of God and be saved? Or in other words, and by what means can man himself become righteous? And we see the book wherein dealing with that question, answering it even within the course of the first chapter. In Romans 1, verses 13 through 17, Paul the writer said, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," in what? The gospel, the word of God. "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The book of Romans, in a general way, exalts the righteousness of God, and then goes about to explain how man, in general, as a running theme through the book, is salvation not only to the Jew but to the Gentile. The rest of the book goes on to describe how man in general can benefit from the righteousness of God, thereby being made righteous ourselves and enjoying the benefits of salvation for all eternity. And so how is it that man can be made righteous by God and enjoy the righteousness of God? Paul says, through the Word of God. Notice in those few verses we read that he desired to go to Rome. In other words, he hadn't been there yet. The church in Rome was established apparently by other Christians who came through Rome and preached the gospel. And others believed and obeyed, thereby establishing the church in that location. But Paul, as of yet, had not gone there. And so he says, "I want to come to you. And I want to produce fruit in the kingdom in Rome, just as I have among other Gentiles." And then notice he says how he is going to produce that fruit. Verse 15. "So as much as in me is, I am ready to do what? What is the means by which he's going to bring forth fruit in Rome? I'm ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also. How can man benefit from God's righteousness, himself being made righteous, and being saved for all eternity? Paul says, through the Word of God, that which is an illustration of God's righteousness, the theme of the book of Romans. And so this evening, let's in a very brief way notice the righteousness of God from the book of Romans. And from Romans 1 through Romans 16, we see that being a point and being an emphasis that Paul makes throughout his discussion. First of all, in Romans 1 again, let's see the revelation of God's righteousness. Paul is going to be discussing the righteousness of God, and so he has to bring it up at some point. And he does so in Romans chapter 1. We read through verse 17 a moment ago, and I want to take just a few minutes right now and read the rest of the chapter. I know it's fairly lengthy, but as I was going through and looking this week as to what verses I wanted to read in conjunction to this point, I thought, well, I can't cut it off until the chapter is cut off. There's just too much material in it. And so let's sit back for just a moment and listen to what Paul has to say in revealing the righteousness of God. Romans 1, verses 8 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now notice, beginning in verse 21, Paul begins to describe the need for the righteousness of God. And it's going to be based on the sin of the people. And notice to what degree these people were living in sin. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now that's a lot of verses, but they are pointing to one fact. The people were in the deepest pit of sin. And so how was Paul revealing the righteousness of God? Well, in verses 13 through 17, he had described his desire to preach the gospel to them, to reveal in words the righteousness of God. And then in verses 18 through 32, he reveals that righteousness by letting them know of the need of that righteousness. These people were despicable. And obviously any sin is despicable. But when you read that laundry list of things that Paul just described there, they were idolaters. They were immoral. Some were rejecting God altogether. Others were given to things that I really don't even want to talk about. And so Paul goes about to reveal unto these people the righteousness of God by describing to them their need for God's righteousness. Anytime sin enters a person's life, the righteousness of God is needed in that life. And we as the people of God are required and given opportunity to reveal to them that righteousness in the same way Paul was going to, by preaching unto them the Word of God. Man was lost, and man was without hope in the world, thereby being condemned. And man's only hope was a supreme righteousness. Only God can be attributed with a supreme righteousness. And man can benefit from that if we will listen to the Word of God, accept the truth, and obey it as it has been given. And so first of all, in the book of Romans, in discussing the righteousness of God, Paul goes about to reveal to these people that righteousness. But though man can be reckoned righteous by God, what does it mean to be reckoned righteous or made righteous? I know often we'll use phrases or say words that many of us have heard or known all our lives. But sometimes in repeating them over and over, they might lose emphasis, or they might lose the striking nature in our minds. And so what does it mean for man to be made righteous because of God's righteousness? Well, number two, Paul then goes on to describe the satisfaction of God's righteousness. And in that, reveals to us exactly what it means to be made righteous. The righteousness of God and our acceptance of it and obedience because of it will satisfy all spiritual depravity caused by sin. That's exactly what it means to be made righteous by the righteousness of God. It will satisfy all spiritual depravity that comes in our lives because of sin. Now that should mean something to us. The fact that when we enter into a life of sin, we are depraved, we are cut off from God. We have that chasm that we talked about this morning, that great gulf that separates ourselves from God. And there is something that is needed to fill the gap. Well, we find through the Scriptures, God set forth the process by which a church would be established that would fill the gap between man and God and provide the means by which we can be reconciled. But in Romans 6 and verse 23, Paul notices the consequences of sin and then in a way describes to us the benefits of God's righteousness and our acceptance of it. He said in Romans 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. That's all sin has to offer. It doesn't offer us fame. It doesn't offer us fortune, though we may enjoy those temporarily in this life. All sin in the long run has to offer us is death. There's nothing beyond that. But then he goes on, and he describes the benefits that will come by our having satisfied the depravity of sin. And he says that though the wages of sin are death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the satisfaction of God's righteousness when we accept it and we ourselves are made and reckoned righteous. Nothing will be lacking, but every spiritual need in reconciling ourselves unto God will then be satisfied. In Romans 5, verses 1 through 8, we find Paul making this statement. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, and yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The righteousness of God is illustrated and symbolized to us through the blood of Christ that we contact at the point of baptism. It is that righteousness that we enjoy made possible unto us because of the blood of Christ. And notice in a further point regarding the satisfaction of this righteousness. In verse 1, he said that therefore being justified by faith. I've heard the word justified or being justified described in this way. That being justified from sin refers to the fact that it's as just if I had never sinned. I think that's a good way to remember it. That when we're justified from sin, it's as though we had never sinned at all. That's the satisfaction the righteousness of God offers unto us. And at the point of baptism, Paul then in Romans 6 and verses 3 and 4 goes on to illustrate the satisfaction that we can live in as we remain in Christ. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. That is the satisfaction found through the righteousness of God. Our every spiritual need in reconciling ourselves unto God is satisfied at the point of obedience. And then as we arise from the grave of baptism, Paul says we walk in the newness of life, satisfying our spiritual needs in Christ through life, looking forward in hope to an eternity in heaven. And so first of all, in discussing the righteousness of God in the book of Romans, Paul described the revelation of the righteousness of God. He went on to describe the satisfaction of God's righteousness. But we understand what the Bible says about this righteousness now. But how does it apply to us? We want to make it personal. I remember hearing last week when we were polishing the pulpit, somebody was talking about sermon structure. And they made a point that I don't know if I'll ever forget. It was a great point. And they said, you know, you have your outline, you have all your points, you have all your verses, but sooner or later, you have to get to your so what point. And what he meant by that is you give us all these facts, all these verses, all this other information, but then everybody's sitting in the pew and they want to say, so what? Well, this is so what. How does this apply to us? The application of God's righteousness. As with all blessings, the righteousness of God is imputed unto obedient man and comes with natural responsibilities. In Romans 12 and following, we see Paul discussing those responsibilities that we as children of God are imputed with at the point of obedience. For example, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he describes our responsibilities toward God. In Romans 12, 3 through 21, he describes our responsibilities towards society. In chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, he describes our responsibilities towards civil government. In verses 8 through 14 of chapter 13, he refers to our responsibilities toward our neighbors. And then in Romans 14 and Romans 15, he describes our responsibilities with regard to Christian liberty. But all of these responsibilities, though they fall under specific categories, really all likewise fall under the general responsibility of obeying God. And that's exactly what he described in verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12. He says there, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are to be a different people. And the world will look at us as different, though in their minds we're different from the standpoint of being kooks. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about standing out, not for the sake of people noticing us, but that we would do like Christ said in Matthew 5, to be the city set on a hill that cannot be hid, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. If we're going to do that, we have to be different. And that's what he said in verse 2. Be ye not conformed to this world. Don't blend in. Be different. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, the righteousness of God. And if we will in our lives seek to accept and excel in the righteousness of God by serving Him dutifully, then we're going to see great things being done in this world for the advancement of the kingdom, the propagation of the gospel, and the saving of lost souls. No greater topic, I believe, could be discussed in the book of Romans than the righteousness of God. Perhaps one of the greatest topics that could be discussed anywhere. God is a majestic, almighty, all-powerful being. And His righteousness is one for which we should always be thankful, because we benefit from that righteousness. His righteousness allows us to be made righteous. And so tonight you may be here and not yet a benefactor of that righteousness, because you're not yet a child of God. If that's the case, it doesn't have to be any longer. You can respond this evening to the invitation of Jesus Christ and obey His gospel, to contact His blood, to benefit from His death, to be added to His body, and one day go to the heaven that He has prepared for us. There can be no greater list of blessings that can be bestowed upon man than those. And that can be yours tonight, if you will only accept what you have studied and heard the Word of God to teach. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. God will cleanse you from that iniquity, and He will make you His child and give you hope for eternity. Or if you're here tonight and you are a child of God and yet you've gone back into the world, then come back, repent of those sins, confess them, pray unto God for forgiveness, enjoy the blessings of His righteousness once more, as He again will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so tonight, if you're subject to heaven's invitation, we hope that you will come now and enjoy the great blessings that are found in Christ Jesus forevermore. Do it now while together we stand and sing.